God is good. Before I go much farther, someone left up here or something was found, a ring was found. If it be yours, then you can come and claim it. It is up here. I want to say good morning to all of those that I haven't had an opportunity to say good morning to. Just to wish you all a happy Lord's Day. And God knows best. He knew what kind of weather to send us today. He knew what we were in need of, and he sent it our way. But we should be ever eternally grateful that God has allowed us to get up this morning. Because we did not have to wake up. We did not have to get up. But he saw fit to allow us to do the likewise. This morning we're going to ask the question in our text this morning. Is your relationship with God serious? Is your relationship with God serious? The scripture was read for your hearing from Acts the 28th chapter, 16th through the 24th verse. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, O righteous God, thank you for the blessings of today. Thank you for the blessings of yesterday, and we pray for the blessings for tomorrow also, that they might come our way. But if not, let your will be done with us, O Lord. Father, we pray and thank you for this local congregation here at the Stony Island Church of Christ. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families also. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. Father, we're praying for the sick and the shut-in, especially those in the household of faith this morning, and our local congregation in particular. Father, we're praying for those who may have lost loved ones. We're just praying that you strengthen them. We're just praying that you give them the courage and the wisdom to know that whatever your will is, it shall be done. Father, we thank you for each and every person here this morning. We pray and ask you to bless each and every member here this morning as well as their families. Father, we want to thank you so very much for just this moment in time that you give us to call upon thy name. Father, we pray for the leaders of this world in which we live that they may not make any rules that hinder or harm us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for the rescuers everywhere who are fighting the battles from nature. Lord, the rain that you sent, the storms that come our way. We pray for those people who are out in front trying to rescue others. We pray and thank you, Father, for those who are on the front line of the battle, the policemen, the firemen, and the doctors, the nurses. We just pray and thank you, Father, for those servants who serve our every need. We thank you, O Lord. Father, we pray for the children that are growing up. We just pray that you strengthen the parents, that they may be able to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, when we have read our last scripture, said our last prayer, and walked our last mile, we just pray and ask you that you would give us a home with thee. These are our desires and our asking. These are our blessings that we are asking of. In the name of the Father, we ask it all, and in the name of the Son, we say thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. As most students of the Bible are aware of, Paul spent a lot of time in jails and in chains. When we begin our lives as a believer in Christ, we too are bound. Maybe not with physical chains, but the chains may be human weaknesses. Such as in Romans chapter 7, where the writer speaks how that in verse 18, "For I know that in me," meaning in his flesh, "dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, But how to perform that which is good, I find not. We want to do good, but no matter how Paul says he tries, he doesn't. We may be bound by sickness, by finances, by the burdens of other people, and by their burden, even with family problems. This is when we realize we need to be in a serious relationship with God. Let Satan know I may be bound, but I'm not giving in. The need to evaluate our relationship with God on a constant basis, and we need to ask ourselves this question. So from that 28th chapter of the book of Acts, in particular verse number 20 there, where it says, "For this cause therefore have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Now we all know the story how that Paul was bound and locked up in prison, in jails all over the place, but yet he never lost his zeal for doing the business of the Lord. If you look at all those scriptures from verse 16 on, you will find that how Paul, even though he was chained and was a prisoner, he still preached the word of God. So I ask this question this morning. Can your convictions be broken? In other words, would the convictions you hold on to today condemn you in the sight of God tomorrow? Would you be able to speak as Paul asked the question in John chapter 8, verses 46 and 47, where he said, "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." In other words, why do you speak so harshly to me when you cannot understand God's word yourself? Your convictions can be broken if you do not believe, if you do not stand firmly on living for Jesus. Your convictions can be broken if you do not believe that God is real. Your convictions can be broken if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is going to return? If you do not believe that, your convictions can easily be broken. If you do not have these convictions, then your convictions will not stand the test of being in a serious relationship with God. And your convictions can be broken. You can tell yourself things like, "I'll do better tomorrow," or "God would not really send me to hell." Let me remind us of Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27, where he says, "I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others," and I like the New American Standard Version for this part of it, it says, "when one should be disqualified," I mean, he uses the word, "in this race called life, we should be running to win, not to lose out." How does the old saying go? When we snooze, we lose. Nobody should want to lose this race by being disqualified. Have you checked the pace of your race lately? If you have not, you may need to consider checking your pace, how you're doing, how you're running this race, because we're all in it, or we all should be in it, to win it. When one is determined, can your determination be broken? When one is determined to do something, most will let nothing stop them. Determination is the will to do something, to not let other things get in your way. Notice the example given in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Actually, let us go up to verse 13 and start reading. "But this one thing I do, that is forgetting those things behind us." And then in verse 14 he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." The pen of the writer recalls these things in these two verses. We need to concern ourselves with what's ahead of us and not what is already gone behind us. We need to make sure of our calling and election according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. We need to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Now, there are a lot of things that happen in this life while we're running this race. And we need to make sure that we're in a serious enough relationship with God that we know that we can call on Him in our times of need. The example of the Apostle Paul, who put up with the persecution of many times being bound and locked up, even being shipwrecked, but nothing could deter him from standing up and speaking up on behalf of Christ. A question this morning for each and every one of us that we must answer for ourselves. There is no textbook answer. We must answer this question individually. And the question is, could your relationship to God withstand the test of what the Bible asks of us? Or would, after a few trials, would you give up for an easier life? Would your passion for Christ overwhelm your desire to be like the world? Would you desire to be saved? So, would you desire to be saved or to enjoy the comforts of this world? Where would your heart be? Would it be as in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, where it speaks of, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer is to God, that they might," speaking of Israel, "that they might be saved." Would you pray for others? Or let me rephrase that. Do you pray for others? Those who have become your enemies because of your godly relationship, or would you just join their side because you are there with them at the moment? Think about it. Look at verse number 16, if you will, of Acts chapter 28. "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, 'Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our father, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans.'" Do you know why? Because Paul spoke up on the Lord's behalf. "Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Paul was bound with a chain, a physical chain. Now, we as Christians today, you may not be bound with a physical chain, but there are many things that can chain you from serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. There are many things that can keep you from doing what you're supposed to do on the Lord's behalf. That's why I ask the question, is your relationship with God serious? You know, a lot of us like to play church. A lot of us like to play like I'm a Christian when I'm farthest thing from a Christian. But you know something? All play dates end. And one day that play date that you're playing with is going to end. And when it ends, you're going to have to face a serious God. You're going to have to face a serious Lord. And you're going to have to be very serious when you answer the questions that are going to be asked of you. So I ask this question of you: can your zeal be broken? Zeal means to be excited about something. Christians need to have zeal about doing the Lord's work. Just as Paul had zeal to stop the Lord's work when he was Saul. Notice what he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 6 concerning zeal persecuting the church. He was a persecutor of the church until he became zealous for Christ. Now I ask the question this morning of you, are you zealous for Christ? Believers today need that same spirit of zealness to help spread the gospel of Christ. And I'll tell you right now, zeal cannot be bought on Amazon.com, nor can you run out and buy it at the local Walmart. They don't sell it in cans or packages or cartons or containers. When you love the Lord and your relationship is serious, zeal ought to be a part of your working for Him. Zeal will cause one to come to church every Lord's day and be on time. Zeal will make one like Jonah, who went to preach God's word in Nineveh and on one day's trip instead of taking 3 days' journey. Zeal can cause one to want to learn more about the Lord and how he or she can be a part of the works. If you remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he had to come by night to meet the Lord. But even that's zeal enough, because some of us won't come in broad open daylight. Zeal can cause one to run to see more about Jesus, as Peter and the disciples did when the stone was moved from the tomb upon the first day of the week in John chapter 3. The same day of the week when we have a need to come together to hear the gospel and not be waiting till next week, but instead we come today. We need to be passionate about Christ. This is what a serious relationship will cause one to feel. It'll cause one to not look for excuses to not go to church anymore, but instead look forward to coming to church. Cause one to be more obedient to the word of God. Cause one to visit the sick. Causes one to love one another, forgive one another, and help one another. This is what zeal can do, and if your relationship is serious with the Lord. It's time for you to check your relationship status. Are you in a serious relationship with God, or are you simply pretending? I submit to you that when you go back to the text and look at this man, Paul, how that he was in prison, but he never lost his zeal. He never lost his convictions. He was bound, but he was not broken. He was bound, but he couldn't be silenced. He was bound, but he would not stop talking the word of God. I ask you this morning, what would make you stop talking or speaking the word of God? For some of us, it would be something real easy. I stumped my toe, so I'm not going to serve God anymore. For some of us, it might be something a little bit more difficult. It might be something like a sickness in the family, your loved one, or yourself. It may be a death in the family, but I'm here to tell you that sickness happens to all of us at one time or another, and death shall come to every last one of us in this audience this morning. No doubt about it, you're not going to escape death. So those are not excuses for losing your determination, your zeal, and your convictions for the Lord. We need to be passionate about Christ. We need to get serious about Christ. We need to make sure that our relationship with Him is serious enough to withstand the test of time. Withstanding the test of time. Some may ask the question this morning, what is the test of time? Well, you're living the test of time. You are living for your lifetime the test of time. You know, and when I think about a baby being born, a new body into this world, you know, the first thing that happens is the doctors have to make sure that the baby is born alive. Then once that baby is alive, that they begin the treatments that are necessary to sustain this baby. And so I say to you this morning, if you are in need of sustaining your relationship with the Lord, you need to make sure that you will look at your relationship and make sure that it can be sustained, and it can be if you would allow it to be sustained. Now, when you think about it, God doesn't put anything that's too hard upon us. He knows all about what he's asking of. You know why Jesus knows everything already? Because he's been here. He's walked this earth. He spent time in the crowd of people. And he experienced life just as we experience life. He didn't have to, but he did because he came here to die for us. To hang, bleed on yonder's cross, that he might die for us, that we might have an opportunity to the tree of life. So we need to get serious about our relationship with the Lord. Serious enough to question our being and our serving the Lord. Some of us, we like to wait till something happens to us. Then we test the Lord. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never do that no more. That don't always work. Sometimes God wants to make you suffer in order to test you, to try your patience. Sometimes the Lord makes us suffer because he needs to see where we stand. He already knows, but he wants us to see where we stand. And then, when you think about it even further than that, you ask yourself this question: where do I want to go in my last day? Where do I want to go in eternity? That should be enough to make you get serious about a relationship with God. I know there are some who say, well, I go to church every Sunday. That may be well and good, but are you serious when you get in church? Or are you just in church just because somebody told you to be in church? You know, we've got the kind of people that come into church. Some of them are what I call peepers. They peep at their watch. They peep at their cell phones. And it's a good thing we don't have a clock back there, because heads would be turning. See, if there was a clock back there, that clock would be for whoever is standing in the pulpit, because we have a direct sight of it. But peepers don't mind turning around and looking at the clock. They didn't get here until 11:15 in the first place. Then they want to know how soon will 11:45 get here so that we can start preparing to get out. That's what we call 11 o'clock Christians, Brother Jackson. 11 o'clock Christians, those who come in and nudge the person next to them and ask them, what is he talking about? They miss the beginning of the sermon. They miss the title of the sermon, so they have no clue as to what's going on. So they bother you when you're into it. Then there's that other kind of Christian who comes in and then rushes out as soon as church is over. This relationship is not serious. Neither one of these relationships are serious. They rush out before they have to shake anybody's hand because they don't want to shake nobody's hand. I don't want to shake anybody's hand today because I don't feel like shaking anybody's hand, and I'm hurrying up and getting out of here before they start bombarding me because they got a lot of questions. They're going to ask me, where have I been? How come I've been gone so long? And when am I coming back? And I don't want to answer those questions. Then there's the serious kind of relationship. The person who stands around and wait to make sure that they speak to everybody in the congregation. The kind who makes sure that I speak to sister or brother so-and-so because he or she has been sick and I want to know how they're doing. That's a serious relationship with God. So how is your relationship with God? You may be chained, but not physically. You may be bound, but not physically. But you can still have problems in your life, and you can still have things that will keep you from serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. But if you have a serious relationship, you learn to work around those things. You learn to get serious with the Lord. Now then, as I come to a close here this morning, the other question I want to ask you this morning is, if you are serious about your relationship with the Lord, what have you done for others lately? Have you told somebody about the Word of God? Have you mentioned the Word of God to that neighbor next door to you, the neighbor down the street from you, or the neighbor around the corner from you? Have you asked the widow woman down the street, "Can I do anything for you today, Miss Smith?" Or have you asked the person who's down on his luck, "Can I help you today?" That's getting serious about your relationship with the Lord. Or are you the kind that say, "Well, it don't make any difference. He wasn't doing so well anyway." That's not the attitude. When you get serious about your relationship with God, you'll learn that there are no chains and no physical boundaries, bounds that can stop you from sticking with the Word of God. You know, and the Word of God is not that hard to understand. What is the Word? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, it's simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you teach this to others the best you can. And you know what? You'll learn something yourself in the process of teaching. You learn what you really know about the Lord when you start trying to teach. And I don't mean getting in a serious teaching relationship. Leave that to the teachers. But get in a relationship where you can just explain some things to people. Do you know how long Jesus was on the cross? Somebody might ask you that question. Do you know why did Jesus die on the cross? Somebody might ask you that question. Do you know how long Jesus was in the grave? Somebody might ask you that question. And if you ask that question, you should be able to answer. That's basic and elementary gospel teaching. But somebody, no doubt, somebody is going to have to call for some help because you don't know. Well, that tells you something. You ought to get more serious about your relationship. You're supposed to know why Jesus came to earth, hung, bled, and died on the yonder's cross. You're supposed to know that he was in the grave from Friday till early Sunday morning. You're supposed to know these things when you are serious in your relationship with Christ. So now the question becomes, how can I become serious about my relationship with Christ? Well, you come to Christ. That's the first thing. How do I come to Christ? I come by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson would love to put you through under the water today, down in the water. And if you've already been there, you ask this question of yourself. If you've fallen away, ask God, go back and ask God to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. And then, like I always like to say now, don't come ask the church to pray for you and you haven't prayed for yourself. Pray for yourself all the time. Not just when you get in trouble, but all the time. Pray all the time. Pray for yourself. Pray for me too now, but pray for yourself first, then include me in that prayer. I do. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.